Whether you're a world-class athlete or a podcaster like me, we all understand the importance of mental and physical well-being and proper recovery for top-notch performance. That's why I'm excited that Unified Healing is sponsoring this podcast. Unified Healing is a new and super innovative global network of wellness centers powered by Energy Enhancement System, or EE System. If you haven't heard of the EE System, you'll want to listen up. This technology promotes wellness, deep relaxation, purification, and rejuvenation. At hundreds of locations across the globe, access to a center is easy and affordable. Interested in experiencing the EE System technology for yourself? Go to unifiedhealing.com/bluewire to learn more and find a center near you. That's unifiedhealing.com/bluewire. No material or testimonials on the Unified Healing website are intended to be viewed as medical advice or a substitute for professional medical advice, diagnosis, or treatment. Always seek the advice of your physician or other qualified healthcare provider with any questions you may have regarding a medical condition or treatment and before undertaking a new healthcare regimen, including EE System.
The 479th edition of the MMA Gambling Podcast on the Sports Gambling Podcast Network is brought to you by Hall of Fame Bets, the sports betting research platform for parlays, player props, and game lines. Download the Hall of Fame Bets app or visit hofbets.com and use promo code SGPN to get 50% off your first month. Start making smarter bets today.
Howdy ho, Degenerinos, and Happy New Year. Welcome to the MMA Gambling Podcast for 2024, episode 479. This one's being dedicated to the year 2024. It's going to be the greatest year ever. And I'm going to be back on top by the end of the year. I'm going to beat Gumby in all the predictions. Last year was just an aberration. This year, it's back to status quo, back to the normal things. And we're starting things off by picking our UFC champions for each weight class at the end of 2024. We're going to do a little recap of the division for 2023, see how our picks did for this past year, and then we're going to look ahead to the new year, go through the fights that are announced in the weight class, kind of sketch out, map out how we think things are going to play out, and we shall pick a winner, a champion at the end of the year. If you're interested in futures bets, this is the podcast for you. And last episode as well. Last episode, we did the female weight classes up to the bantamweights in the men's weight class. Today, we're doing featherweights and above. Let's bring in the new year, new Gumby. No, same old Gumby. Same old hat as last episode as well as Gumby Vreeland. Hello. Happy New Year, Gumby Vreeland.
So almost like we recorded these things in a row.
Almost. It's a blue Braves hat. I don't even have to ask what your hat is.
Yeah. It's the Father's Day tribute hat for the Braves. I had to wear it after we picked up a nice starting pitcher this past week. So
who did you pick up?
Chris Sale is now an Atlanta Brave.
Oh, really?
Which is
pitches?
He does. And actually not badly either. Just typically injured, which is not bad if he's your number three. When he's the Red Sox number one, it's bad. But he'll be the number three in Atlanta, which is pretty nice.
All right. If you're excited about that, then that's good. That's good. It does matter. You'll get, 10 runs a game anyhow. So
yeah.
Sale can give up 7 or 8 if he likes, and the Braves will still win. So no there problem there. This is not a Atlanta Braves podcast, even though it could be. Gumby would do very well at that. No, as I told you, we're doing the UFC weight classes. Let's just jump things, jump right into it with featherweights. Gumby, we predicted Alexander Volkanovski would be the champ, and guess what? He's still the champ. Minus 225 we got for him, though. didn't really make any hay there. That's only the second one we've gotten right so far, isn't it? Well, I guess Amanda Nunes.
We'll
count that as. Yeah, that's three. That's all right.
Yeah, when you're looking at future odds, that's pretty good hit rate.
Yep. And our champion heading into this year, as we said, Mr. Volkanovski, he already does have a fight lined up. So, which is, I guess, a couple weight classes. We had that on yesterday's show, but kind of easier to plot things out when we know if the champ has a fight lined up or not. As I mentioned, the stat, which I didn't know the exact stat, but fighters 35 or older in UFC title fights have won one twice, and that was Woodley that won both those. Alexander Volkanovski, it was in respect to him because he's 35 and he's up against the younger Ilya Topuria, UFC 298 in Anaheim, February the 17th. So I guess we start right there, Gumby. What do you think is going to happen there? And then we can kind of plot out the division after that.
I don't pick against Volkanovski.
No, I don't either. despite his age and everything, I don't pick. And questionable mental state, perhaps. Not that it's bad that he's driven, but you know, maybe he's bad outside the cage. But I think it'll make his performance even better in the cage. But
I think people are getting all bent out of shape that he was like really emotional around that loss. You got to remember, first of all, the first fight razor close. Your arguments could be made that Volkanovski was a double champ after that fight and that he did beat Islam Makhachev. He certainly had the better moments in that fight. Then when you add into that, that he was like, I don't know if I'm ever going to get a second chance at that. I don't know when that second chance is going to be. And then he like kind of stupidly took it on 10 days notice.
Yeah.
And it went really bad. It went as bad as it could go. And so like, you mean to tell me you wouldn't be emotional around that? Like if he wasn't emotional around that, I would be worried.
Yep. And he just got knocked out too. But we always take these things like thinking fighters have clear heads after when they get interviewed right after they've been separated from their consciousness. But he's coming off just getting knocked out right into a title fight against a very tough opponent. Does that concern you?
I mean, a little bit. I think Leah Topuria is the only person who can dethrone him here. Yeah. You know, I'm looking down the list and you know, I'll get right into the odds because it's always more fun.
Yeah, go ahead.
Kind of to talk about too. Volkanovski plus +140 as the odds on favorite. You got Topuria plus +280. So double of what you get for Volkanovski. Okay. Then after that, you got Holloway at 4-1. Yair Rodriguez 7-1. Arnold Allen 8-1. You know, and then you got the smattering of like Ortegas and Evloevs and Caters. All over 10-1. They do also offer 20-1 on Aljamain Sterling, which is kind of interesting to seeing as depending on what you think he's going to do against Calvin Kattar. Hey, who knows?
That's a tough debut for sure.
Yeah. And I would also say too, just like the UFC hates his guts. It seems like, so if anybody's going to have a tough road to the title, like, yeah, they're going to make him fight Calvin Kattar and then turn around and fight Max Holloway too. Right. And then he would have to win both of those to get to, you know, Volkanovski or Topuria, like, yeah, that's probably why the odds are 20-1.
It really sucks because there's so many scumbags in the UFC. Aljamain Sterling.
He's a great guy.
He's a great guy. He's fun, friendly, nice, and he's a guy that everybody hates. These scumbags that are out there doing horrible things in the world.
They really do dislike him a lot. I've interviewed the guy like 3 or 4 times. I think he's super nice, very personable, like super easy to talk to, like friendly. You know, he just got kneed in the head. And when he got illegally kneed in the head, he lost a lot of fans.
Which is strange, isn't it? Blame the victim. Yes.
It's nuts. And I mean, like he tried to lean into the heel role too, but like,
yeah, that doesn't go well. If you're not really a heel.
Jorge Masvidal leaned into the heel role and people love him for it, you know?
No, I know. But that's because it came natural to him. It's like when John Jones was pretending he was a good guy, you know? People can see through things.
He's still doing that. He just, you know, he hits a pregnant woman with his car and he cites a Bible verse.
Exactly. Oh, that is true. Anyhow, back to featherweight. I guess, the only odd I really had to hear was one for Volkanovski. I guess I'm taking him at plus +140, even though maybe I'm jumping the gun here and giving you my pick early. But
that's what I'm thinking.
Until he proves us wrong, until he loses, not just to a lightweight, if he loses to one of the best lightweights ever in Islam Makhachev, until he loses someone other than him, then yeah, I'm going to pick him in every fight.
Yeah, I agree with that. And I think Topuria, like I said, is a dangerous one. But you're also telling me I get the guy who is the champ, I think is phenomenal at game planning, is going to bring things to Topuria that Topuria has never seen before. You know, like we're talking about a guy who's been, you know, 15 rounds with Max Holloway and 5 with Islam Makhachev. You know, and obviously the short notice one, you can say what you want about him. But he went 20 rounds with those guys before anything bad happened. You know, like what's Topuria's big test so far? You know, like,
yeah, I'm looking at his record right now. He's fought decent guys. Zalal, Damon Jackson, Ryan Hall. Then it gets a bit Jai Herbert, then Bryce Mitchell. All right. But he's shown that didn't.
I mean, he just got chinned hard.
Yeah. And Josh Emmett, whatever. Josh Emmett he can knock people out, but he hasn't really been tested.
Yeah, one guy went 20 rounds with Holloway and Makhachev, yeah. And the other one went 5 with Josh Emmett. So,
is that a positive though, or is that this guy's been beat up now?
Yeah, that's the only reason you pick against him, in my opinion.
Yeah,
because he's
age, father time will be
size.
The possibly,
yeah. Size parity here. I think he beats everybody. You know, I think he's the most skilled mixed martial artist in the world right now. Yeah. My pick's Volkanovski.
Me too.
None of the numbers really intrigue me either. That's the other reason I'm picking him. It's not like I'm getting Aliyah at 400 and then I might be tempted, or, I don't even think anybody else could be tempting in this division.
Yeah. We have a couple fights, first couple on my screen here could decide who the next person to fight for the belt is. Brian Ortega is coming back against Yair Rodriguez at UFC Mexico, which is in February 24th. And then we got Arnold Allen versus Movsar Evloev at UFC 297 in Toronto this month, January the 20th. I got a bone to pick about Brian Ortega, the fact that he's still ranked so high by you people, despite winning one fight in the past 5 years. He's still top five or ridiculously
almost choked out the champ. Want to put him at 17?
I want him to fight, show up once in a while.
Yeah, I want him to fight too, but he's lost once by doctor's stoppage, once by decision to the champ, and once because his shoulder got dislocated.
Boy, somebody likes Brian Ortega. Jeez.
I mean, he hasn't lost to anybody except for the best three guys in the division.
Gumby Cortez.
I think everybody jumps to be the guy hasn't fought in a couple years, and you're like, okay, well then I'll just automatically move him off the rankings. And I get the Conor McGregor thing was annoying to people, and I'd removed him way before other people, but I think people are also we're supposed to rank the best 15 guys. Are there five guys better than Brian Ortega in your opinion? See, who are the five guys better than Brian Ortega?
No, I hear you. The rankings I do on my side, if you haven't fought in a year, you're not ranked.
That's and if they were performance rankings,
UFC should do that.
Yeah, yeah. I like the idea of performance rankings. I like what you do on your site, but at the same time, that's not what they're asking panelists to do. Asking them to rank who's the best. And Ortega hasn't shown me he's not better than, three guys who showed me they're better than him.
Yep. So that is actually another fight, as Gumby mentioned, Aljamain Sterling. He's fighting Calvin Kattar. That's another top prospect fight. Well, prospect. These guys are both old. But UFC 300, that's happening in April. So that has title ramifications as well. Denige Lerone Murphy is fighting in Vegas, February the 10th. And there's not too many fights announced in this weight class.
Charles Jourdain.
That's a fun one. That's in Toronto next month as well, or this month. I keep forgetting it's January. And is that it? Oh, Shailan Nurdambeki versus Haider Amil fighting in Vegas. Oh, that's a big fight. Melsik Bagdasarian, William Gomi fighting in Vegas February the 3rd. And I think that's it now. Jiang Liang Lee, Blake Builder. That's not really that important. This
Jan Silva, Gabriel, Weston Wilson.
Weston Wilson, yep. And that is it. So anyhow, some decent fights. A lot of title ramification, like I said, type fights. But we're still going with Volkanovski, right?
Yep.
All right. Any young guns in this division that we should keep our eye on? We got Gomi at 3-0. He's only 26. Topuria, 6-0. He's only 26 as well. Sometimes we forget once guys have been ranked for a while and they're getting title shots, how young some of them are. Jonathan Brito is actually surprised. He's 4-1 at 28 years old. Jack Shore, 6-1 at 28 years old. Anyone jump off the page at you?
So all the ones you mentioned, but also from people who are under 30 at the bottom of the division, new guns. Diego Lopes, I know he lost to Movsar Evloev, but on 3 days' notice.
Yeah.
It was close. Some people even scored that fight for Lopes. So Diego Lopes, Mohamed Naimov is 2-0, although that last fight kind of took some of the shine off for me. And then Isaac Dalgarian looks just like an absolute savage. He's only 27. So he's another one I got my eye on.
I guess this is going to be a thumbs up division as well, isn't it?
Yeah. You keep asking for the thumbs up, thumbs down. And
Every division, pretty much.
Is it lighter than middleweight? Thumbs up.
Yes, exactly. It's true. That's right. We haven't done any of the real heavyweight classes.
We're getting to the thumbs down divisions. Give it a second.
Women's bantamweight, we did not give a thumbs up to that, though, did we? No.
That's basically middleweight.
Yeah, exactly. That's basically heavyweight, basically. All right. Before we move on to I guess we still have lightweight, and then we have some fun. No, we have watch weight. And then we have fun weight classes. We're going to tell you about Underdog Fantasy. Underdog Fantasy has a way to play alongside your favorite fantasy players all season long. NFL, NBA, NHL, college basketball, and college football. Simply pick higher or lower on your favorite players' fantasy stats and cash in. Do you have any plays for us, Gumby?
Sure. I'll take if you're hearing this on New Year's Day, in the nighttime basketball game, I'll take Yusuf Nurkic's higher than on his rebounds. He's up against his old team, and then add in the fact that both of the centers on the Blazers are game time decisions. DeAndre Ayton and Duop Reith are both game time decisions. So, like, even if they are playing, they'll be banged up a little bit. He'll grab some extra boards.
Go Suns, go! I'm wearing a Suns hat for people who aren't not watching. So, all right. So, watch the games, make your picks. Watch a Blazers game. Gumby's gonna make you make your picks and maybe make a little cash over on Underdog's mobile app or website, underdogfantasy.com. And when you sign up with the promo code SGPN, Underdog will double your first deposit of up to $100. That's Underdog Fantasy promo code SGPN. All right. I was thinking we were on to the quote unquote bad weight classes, but no, we have a couple good ones still. We're only up to lightweights. We both had Alexander Volkanovski as the lightweight champ. Almost.
We both picked Volk. Oh,
yeah, we did. Plus 500.
I like that.
Number.
That's a good pick. Yeah,
it was. Islam Makhachev, of course, was the real pick. He's solidified himself as a true great, shall I say, taking care of Volkanovski even easier the second time, even though obviously there were some extenuating circumstances with that, with short notice and having to cut so much weight and all that. But still, kudos to Mr. Makhachev. Nothing lined up for him yet, right? Do we know?
It seems like probably not, right? Like, isn't Ramadan right around the corner?
Right. Usually takes off. Let me see. Ramadan 2024. When is it? March the 10th is when it begins. Yeah.
He ain't fighting before that. So.
Nope. So he's probably.
We're talking summer.
Are they going back to the Middle East in the summer again? Or Abu Dhabi?
I'm sure they got some Abu Dhabi dates lined up, and I know they've got Saudi Arabia, although that one's just a fight night, I think. So
Saudi Arabia, that's March, so he won't be doing that one March 2nd, so yeah.
Yeah, but they got a couple of Saudi Arabia dates. Like, I think they locked in, like, a three-fight deal with Saudi Arabia or a four-fight deal with Saudi Arabia.
So we're probably not talking talking summer, right? Early summer?
Yeah, probably early summer, late spring.
And then maybe end of year?
Mm-hmm. So, like, two.
All right. Do we have any, instead of reading every fight, I'll just read the ones that are interesting to me.
Yeah. I appreciate that.
Like Jim Miller, that one's interesting. It's not a title contention, but it is interesting. He's fighting January 13th against Gabriel Benitez, and yet he still plans on fighting UFC 300 as well. So,
and if you listen to my interview with him, he'll tell you why he feels that way.
Yes. There you go. Drew Dober, Renato Moicano, all right, I guess.
It's a good fight.
Yep, good fight. Not title worthy though. Matias Gamrot, Rafael Dos Santos. That one is definitely in the top of the division realm. That's UFC 299 on March the 9th.
And that's pretty much it. Lightweight.
Yeah, that's it. It's very quiet, and like some other like lower level fights, but yeah, pretty quiet. So give us the odds, Gumby.
So it's a big favorite for Islam Makhachev. Yeah. This is going to be wild to you, I think. Who do you think is second?
Okay, let me think. What is Makhachev, by the way?
-300.
All right. I'm just going to come out and say that's my pick. So regardless of how bad it is, he's going to be the champ. I don't see anyone beating him. How about Justin Gaethje is next?
He's fourth.
He should be next, though, I think.
He's like fourth.
He could be getting the next fight.
He's fourth at 14-1.
Hmm. There's probably some value there.
Yeah. Oh, I think so.
I think some value there. All right. Who's second? Is it Armin?
Armin Tsarukyan. Only 3.5-1. Really? Which I would say if the number was higher, I'd be intrigued on him. But only 3.5-1. And guess who else is in front of Gaethje?
Oliveira.
Nope. He's down at like 20-1.
Dustin Poirier?
20-1.
Okay.
Matthews Gamrot.
Oh, the gamer.
9-1.
Interesting.
Which is kind of interesting. What those odds tell me is the books are cooking in. You need somebody to stuff a takedown.
Yeah.
Because the number one and number two guy they have listed there on odds, Sarukian and Gamrot, dudes who can stuff a takedown. And maybe throw hands with Islam. So, because they're giving Gaethje no chance to do that. I would say the best odds there are for sure Gaethje. Like, you wouldn't get me playing a negative 300 future. I'm not, you know, nobody's an idiot. Gun to my head, yes, that's my pick. I'm with you. Islam
Makhachev. I think that's Gumby's kink, isn't it? Gun to your head, right?
Yeah,
you're always talking about it.
But like, that's obviously the, if you're trying to predict who's going to be champ at the end of the year, Islam Makhachev is the only person who you'd really, with any confidence, say. But like, a negative 300 future is like a silly future to bet on.
Yeah, but like, why would you do that? Yeah.
Gaethje, who's supposed to be fighting for the title next at 14-1. Yeah, you could definitely, you could spend $20 a lot worse than that.
He should be the next like challenger, right? We're expecting, like, he doesn't seem to mind sitting out and waiting either. So
yeah, I mean, Oliveira had the fight booked, and then he pulled out injured. It seems weird that he doesn't get the next shot. But like,
it seems like the UFC way to me.
Yeah, but he also didn't just head kick knock out Dustin Poirier. So
yeah, exactly. Yeah, you have to, regardless of the situation, you have to grab your chances when you get them from the UFC or risk being passed over. So not Jim Miller. Is there any odds on Jim Miller?
I'll tell you what, if DraftKings relist their odds, which I know they, I don't know why they pulled them right before we started recording, but
they must have known. They must have known we were going to record. That's
they had everything listed. So you probably could have gotten Jim Miller futures. So
that's fantastic. Yeah, he's going to, we know he's going to be active at the very least. He's going to be active. He's going to be available. If they need someone to step in, he will be available.
And he told me that he's maybe going to fight seven more times.
I saw a headline. He is not retiring at UFC 300, people. He's already planning his UFC 300.
Where did you see that headline?
What was it from you, possibly?
I'm guessing they
feed somewhere, I think.
They probably sourced
stealing it from you.
Did they source my interview?
I don't know. Hopefully they actually credit. Wait, you haven't posted it yet though, have you?
I posted it. It's on Cage Side Press's YouTube.
Oh, okay. Okay.
So you can get it if you want already. But yeah, the audio. I'm now gonna have to know if somebody stole that.
Yeah. Google it.
Was it fucking MMA Mania?
I don't think I have them in my news feed any longer.
God.
Any youngsters in this division excite you? You know who's under 30, guys.
BSD.
BSD. But I want to say Denis, Gumby and I think alike, man. God of War, 5-1. But the big thing is he's won 5 straight in the proper weight class. That's the thing with him. And he seems to be that he's indestructible and he can beat you anywhere.
I want to see what Matthews Rebecki does too.
Right.
He's
not Patty Pimblett.
Get him out of here. Rebecki's a lot of fun. I'm not even going to entertain a discussion about it. He's a lot of fun. I really like watching him fight. Who's the Brazilian dude who just beat Guram Kudatadze too?
Elvis Brenner?
Oh, Elvis Brenner. Yeah, that's the other one who I kind of like. He's really exciting.
Yeah, look at, just listen to these people that are still in their 30s. In their 20s. Armin Tsarukyan, for one. BSD, as we mentioned. Nazareth Hakparas, he's not that great, but he's fought 12 times in the UFC. He's only 28. Jalen Turner is only 28. Diego Moises is only 28. There's still a lot of Patty Pimblett is only 28. The point is that there's still a lot of up-and-comers. Grant Dawson, the exposed Grant Dawson, is only 29. So anyhow, a lot of good prospects not named Patty Pimblett in the lightweight division. All right, so we both went chalk on this one, but I don't think there's any other really smart play if you're picking just who's going to be the champ. All right. Welterweight. I had Khamzat, you had Bilal. A couple losses.
One of us was a lot closer.
I forgot Khamzat doesn't fight anymore. All right. Leon Edwards, of course, is the champion. Not only the champion, but he's defended his belt. Yeah. We did not see that coming. Do we have a next fight for Edwards lined up? Are you going to pencil it in somewhere?
There's rumor coming out today that he's supposed to fight Bilal Muhammad at UFC 300.
Yeah,
it's not confirmed, but it says it's in the works. And I mean, it's the fight that should happen next, if we're being honest.
Yes,
it should have happened last time.
I like to see when it's a meritocracy and when the right person gets the fight. So yeah, Bilal definitely
not just the guy threatening to sue another welterweight.
yes, not just guy in the right place, right time type of thing. So all right, so you said you're still 300. So we could probably get two, possibly even three title defenses at welterweight. This is a tough division to predict. Let's see what other high level fights we got. Neil Magny, Mike Malott. That's a big step up for Mike Malott. That's at UFC 297 in Toronto. Gilbert Burns, Jack Della, Madalena. That's a huge step up for our boy Jack Della. That's happening in UFC 299, which is in Miami in a couple months. Jeff Neal, Ian Machado Gary. That's happening at UFC 298 in Anaheim. Michael Page, he's not an upcoming prospect, but he is in the UFC, which will be very interesting. He's fighting at UFC 299 in Miami against Kevin Holland. Michael Page could very easily cut the line and get himself a title shot with a win over Holland, could he not?
Yeah, he could get himself way up there for sure.
Because you got to think that they're paying him a decent amount of money, and they probably want him to be a headliner or close to it for his run in the UFC. So that's something to keep in mind when we're doing the odds here. And I think that is it for the high level fights that we have at welterweight. Yes, it is. All right. What are the odds saying?
So the odds, we got Leon Edwards is the favorite, but only slightly. He's plus 140. Second, okay. Shavkat Rakhmonov plus 160. So almost the same exact number as Leon Edwards. Then you got Bilal Muhammad plus 480. Kamaru Usman is fourth at plus 700. Then you got Sean Brady plus 800. Jack Della Maddalena plus 1500.
Oh, interesting. Interesting. All right. I think I've already always say my picks before you. So I'll let you talk your way through this first, if you like.
I mean, I don't really need to talk my way through it. No? I picked them last year and I'm going to pick them this year. The odds aren't as good as they were last year. I think last year we listed Bilal Muhammad at 12-1, almost 5-1 right now.
Yeah.
Now he's got the clear path to the title. I think he has shown, especially in that Sean Brady fight, that he has the skills needed and the way to mix it up to beat somebody like Leon Edwards, right? Like imagine, somebody with high level wrestling who's not afraid to use it and also can throw hands. Because Kamaru Usman could throw hands, but he had lost a little bit of his speed in his age.
Yep.
Kobe Covington can't throw hands except for volume, like no power. And then he was afraid to even fight in the first place. So I think Bilal Muhammad's got the right kind of game plan. It would worry me that he would then have to probably defend it against Shavkat. But I think he could beat Leon. And I had him last year at 12-1. He should have gotten the last title fight this year. And that would have been a bummer if he had won that. It would have been a lot better. I also would just say I do like the number on Jack Della Maddalena at 15-1. If he's fighting Gilbert Burns next, he comes out and starches Gilbert Burns. I mean, we're going to have a star on their hands. Being from another country never hurts. They always want to, especially, let's say, we didn't pick it, but let's say Volkanovski loses his title. Izzy doesn't have a title anymore. Volk doesn't have a title anymore. They need somebody to headline pay-per-views in Australia and New Zealand. So,
they tend to go there at least once a year, right? So,
yeah, and not having anybody to headline those, they probably wind up, if they didn't have somebody like Jack Della Maddalena, they probably wind up with like Weili Zhang fights happening there instead. And like, not that those aren't good fights, but like that's not what they want when they go to Sydney. Right. So, you could see Jack Della jump the line there too.
Yep, Bilal's my pick as well, but Shavkat is the
name.
Yes, Shavkat is the boogeyman here, though. Like he's the one that worries me because I think Bilal beats Leon Edwards, but then he's gonna have to fight Shavkat next, probably. And
we gotta be the only podcast out there where both hosts are like confidently being like, "Yeah, Bilal wins."
Yeah, well,
nobody likes.
What's Leon better at? Come on.
I don't. Yeah, I'm with you. I don't know.
Like Bilal's so good in the feet now too. That's the thing. That's yeah, the I mean, thing
he,
with him.
At least he looked that way against Brady.
Yeah.
You know, and then Brady looked, you know, pretty damn good against pretty damn good against Kelvin Gastelum.
Yep. Yep. All right, we're going Bilal. We're also going with Game Time. All this money we're going to win, we're going to buy some tickets from Game Time. We don't have to spend too much, but last minute's Game Time is the place to go. It's the fastest growing ticketing app in the country for a reason. You can get images of your seat before you buy, so you know exactly what to expect when you arrive. Buy tickets in a matter of seconds, two taps, and you're set. Tickets are sent directly to your phone, so you never have to dig through your email. Snag the tickets without the stress with Game Time. Download the Game Time app, create an account, and use code CFBX for $20 off your first purchase. Terms apply. Again, create an account and redeem code CFBX for $20 off. Download Game Time today. Last minute tickets, lowest price guaranteed. And Hall of Fame bets, win bigger by betting smarter this NFL season with Hall of Fame bets, the sports betting analytics platform for parlays, player props, and game lines. Research every NFL, NBA, and soccer bet with historical stats and data. Enter any parlay idea into Hall of Fame bets, revolutionary parlay optimizer tool to get hit rates broken down by leg, as well as an expected probability for the entire parlay. Sort all players by hit rate for any bet to learn which players are hot and which picks have value. Stop betting in the dark and join over 30,000 users researching with Hall of Fame bets to craft more intelligent, data-driven parlays. Download the Hall of Fame bets app or visit hofbets.com and use code SGPN to get 50% off your first month today. Start researching, start winning with Hall of Fame bets.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
It's only a kick, a jump, a block, it's only a serve, it's only a tackle, a run, it's only for the fans. After all, it's only pressure. You got this. Adidas.
All right, now for the slog, Gumby.
Middleweight, we can just do these quick.
Yes, exactly. It doesn't have to be a slog. All right, middleweight predictions. I had Alex Pereira as champ. You had Izzy Adesanya as champ. Who is the champ, Gumby?
Sean fucking Strickland.
yes, he is. Yes, he is. No more hot potato between Pereira and Adesanya. We got Sean Strickland as champ. And he's defending the belt already. That's the thing about Strickland, at least. He is an active fighter.
So. It's going to happen. Yeah.
Yep. He's going to fight right away. And he's fighting a fighter who I think we both agree we don't know if he's any good. He's good for memes.
He'd be Whitaker.
Yeah. Yeah. That was, oh my God. Don't
you
remind
can't,
me.
Yeah. I mean, like, you can't doubt. I mean, his
look
performance.
At him. Look at him
his,
fight, Dan.
His performance against Whitaker was so much better than Strickland's versus Izzy. You know, because like Izzy just looked like a weird shell of himself and backing up the whole time. At least Robert Whittaker looked like himself in that fight. You know what I mean?
Yeah. But he fights like he's on skates. It's wild.
He's weird.
he's very, very good chance that he's going to be the champion here. So anyhow, he is fighting for the belt against Sean Strickland. They already fought in the stands at UFC 297, I guess it would have been, to end the year. Now they're fighting for real in Toronto. No, 297 is the one in Toronto, excuse me, January 20th. I'm so excited about this. I didn't apply to get tickets for a Gumby, even though I'm an hour away. So it shows my level of excitement for this. So we got that on tap. What other top fights do we have? Robert Whittaker, I don't know. Is he still a top fighter? I don't even know if this fight's going to prove it or not. He's fighting Paulo Costa, UFC 298. Is he really going to fight Paulo Costa, though, or is Paulo Costa something going to happen to him?
I don't.
He's one of those guys you cannot predict what's going to happen. Usually you can predict he's going to back out. So anyhow, that's in UFC 298 on February 17th. Jack Hermanson versus Joe Pyfer. Joe Pyfer is getting a headlining slot February the 10th in Vegas at the Apex. Will his mythical girlfriend show up at the Apex again? Our Discord wants to know, Gumby. She was seen once there and she's never been seen again. Any other big fights do we have here?
Yeah. The real big one. UFC 300, Bo Nickel versus Cody Brundage.
Gumby was being, he's being silly. Is Anthony Hernandez, Ikram Alaskarov, is that a big fight?
I'm sorry. We have to go back to high IQ Cody Brundage.
Yeah, whatever.
And then you're writing him off.
Powerbar versus Chris Curtis. That at the very least will be fun. That's the next one.
It'll be weird. It'll be weird.
USG 297.
That's the best way to break down middleweight, really. It'll be weird.
Yeah, it'll be weird. Gumby's favorite film star, Mahmoud Muradov. He's fighting again coming up soon. Roman Dolidze, Nasruddin Imavov. That's a decent fight. That's UFC Fight Night on February the 3rd. That's a kind of a possibly have next type of fight. Depending, it is middleweight, remember, before you scoff at what I'm saying. Obviously, he told you about Nickel already. You don't need to know about Trayshawn Gore or AJ Dobson. You don't need to know about that. You didn't even hear it from me. And that is it. So, Valentin Woodburn, Oban Elliott. Obviously, that's the fight we want to see, right?
Yeah.
Well, that's a welterweight. Sorry. So, heck. All right. What are our odds looking at here?
So, Khamzat's the fave. Plus 275, which is funny because he's not the champ, nor is he fighting next.
Yeah, and he never fights. Obviously, then, there is rumors that there's visa issues with him, but now he's moved to Abu Dhabi. Did he move to or Saudi Arabia? He moved somewhere in the Middle East, and so they think that will handle the visa issues. Yeah, he'll just fight over there and not worry about the States. So anyhow, that's something to keep in mind, though. I'm not just throwing that out there. It's something to keep in mind when you're trying to predict if he's going to get a title shot, stuff like that.
So plus 275 on Khamzat, plus 300. Yeah. So just slightly more on Sean Strickland, plus 400 on Dricus du Plessis, plus 400 on Izzy Adesanya, 575 on Robert Whittaker. And then everybody else is 10-1 or more. And they got Cannonier, Vettori, Dolidze, Imavov listed up there.
I think this comes down to, is one of the young guns going to be able to break through and get a title shot this year or not? Pfeiffer, Nickel, Brendan Allen's only 28. I don't think he should be overlooked at this point either. Are one of those guys going to get a title shot, you think, this year?
Nope. I don't. Nope.
All right.
I think we're going to see my
pick's DDP. How silly is that? But it is.
I'm going to throw a wild one out there for this one.
I think DDP is a wild one, but yes, go ahead.
Well, I'm going to say a higher odds one than DDP. How about Jared Cannonier? Jared Cannonier, you want to look at his record.
Tell me the path.
So first of all, Jared Cannonier, 4-1 in his last five fights. His only loss was the title fight to Israel Adesanya. Since then, he's beaten Sean Strickland and Marvin Vettori. So in theory, somebody like Jared Cannonier should be the next fight for Khamzat, right? Like, Khamzat should have to beat somebody like him. Or if he's not going to fight Khamzat next, I mean, who else is there for Cannonier to fight? He beat the champ.
You think they really care if they have someone for Cannonier to fight? They only care about Khamzat, right?
No, but
you think they'd feed him to Cannonier?
I mean, Cannonier right? Am I wrong about that? I would pick Cannonier tomorrow.
Yeah, it's so hard to say now with this guy. It's so hard. It's not like he's looking better every fight.
The Khamzat that fought Kamaru Usman would get destroyed by Jared Cannonier. Would get absolutely decimated by Jared Cannonier. Yeah. And now that's not saying that's the version he'll see, but if it's that version of him, he comes out looking like that, looking that rusty, looking that slow, looking that... winded after round one, Cannonier will eat him for lunch. And if that's the case, if Cannonier just beat the hell out of Khamzat, and he's already got a win over the champ, if the champ were to still be Sean Strickland, man, how easy would it to be just be like, okay, well, let's run that back and let him beat Strickland again.
Yep. It's true. It shouldn't be overlooked that he had long COVID too, or really bad COVID, Khamzat, and he hasn't really looked the same since then, has he? Since he came back. Remember, he was talking about retiring and stuff back then.
Here's my question, though. Has he ever looked good in a fight where he's had to go
more than seven minutes? That's true.
He's never looked good in a fight where he's had to fight more than 7 minutes. And the people he's fought in those fights are Gilbert Burns and Kamaru Usman, who, don't get me wrong, are good fighters, but they're not known to be cardio kings.
And they're old. They're both old at this point.
Yep, exactly.
Yep. Yeah, I don't know what to make of the guy. I just hope he fights more than once a year, and then maybe we can actually get a bead on him. So you're picking Cannonier. What was the number at him?
+1,000.
+1,000. Well, that'll be a big hit for you. Anything? Is there any young? Well, obviously, there are a handful of young up and comers. Which one are you most excited about under 30 in the UFC? In the middleweight division, excuse me.
Cody Brundage is still under 30. Hi, Cody yeah. Brundage.
So is Dricus. So is Kamzat.
Probably Pfeiffer.
Yeah, you like Pfeiffer more than Nickel? Pfeiffer more than Brendan Allen?
Yeah, I think I do.
Yeah, okay.
Yeah, because the difference for me on those two is like, what does Bo Nickel look like when he can't get a takedown? Do you have any idea?
Well, maybe we'll find out with high IQ
Cody Brundage. He's probably just going to jump Gilly.
probably. We can hope.
And no, but like, we know what Pfeiffer looks like if he's not shooting a takedown. He's got devastating hands. Devastating hands. And like, I kind of think he's like a more athletic Brendan Allen.
Right. Yeah. Good point. Yeah. I like him more than I probably would pick him over the three guys I mentioned.
He's going to absolutely crush Jack Hermansson. He's going to do filthy things to Jack Hermansson.
Yeah, it's a good matchup for him. I would pick him over Khamzat too at this point.
Yeah. Yeah. Oh, definitely. As long as he didn't go out in the first round, he'd be fine.
Yeah. Yeah. He could outlast him. Not that it's going to happen. All right. I already did the last ad reads, right? Yeah, I did. Let's go to light heavyweights. Let's keep it quick. Who are our predictions here? I had Yuri, you had Glover. Are either of us right, Gumby?
We were not. No, you were closer in this one, though.
Who is the champ? Alex Pereira is the champ, right?
He is.
Double champ. All right, and he does not have a fight lined up. Do we know? I guess they kind of have some fights that they're probably going to have to wait and see what happens. Like UFC 300.
They were talking about him fighting Jamal Hill.
Oh, right. I forgot about him.
But like, he's banged up, and I don't know if he's recovering in time to make this actually happen. So,
did his brother's face hurt his hand or something?
That's another thing. Depends on whether or not he's gonna sue somebody related to the UFC. then you get an automatic title shot.
Exactly.
No, and then you're right. You know, the Jiří Procházka versus Alexander Rajic fight will definitely help sort some things out, as will the Johnny Walker versus Magomed Ankalaev fight.
Yep. But we do have some decent for a pretty garbage division. We have some decent fights lined up. Dominic Reyes is being served up to Carlos Ullberg.
That fight's canceled.
Yeah, it's been bumped up though. I heard it's probably going to happen in Miami. I think now. Instead.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, that's what I read. At least it's been bumped ahead. If you're in the Discord, Gumby, you would have read that. But anyhow, Rakic versus you're always in there. Rakic versus Yuri UFC 300. That's a big one, obviously. Magomed Ankalaev, Johnny Walker is headlining the very next event, January the 13th. So in a couple weeks, and
Bogdan Guskov is fighting Zach
Pounga. Oh boy, light heavyweight. All right, what are our odds, Mister?
All right, so these ones are weird. They're also right currently, at least Bet Online, which is where I'm pulling most of these from. They're not currently offering Jiří Procházka odds. I'm not quite sure why. It'd be kind of interesting where he would be fitting into this, because I imagine it would be better than
Let's see if I have any on the site I was looking at here. One sec.
So I got Pajeda. I got Pajeda at +250.
Okay.
Jamal Hill also at +250. Ankalaev at +300. So those three pretty much the same thing.
Yeah.
After that, it's Jan Blankovic +550. And Khalil Roundtree +750.
Interesting. Yeah. I see Yuri at +800.
Okay. And then if you've got Yuri at +800, what does that book have Pajeda at?
Pajeda +200, Hill.
Okay, so about the same.
Ankalaev +450. Then Yuri, and then Rakic. Pajeda's my pick. Plus, I know maybe I'm jumping the gun and you should go first, but Pajeda's my pick at plus.
Yeah.
What do you have him at? Plus
250.
Yeah, I think light heavyweight's a better division for him. It's even worse than middleweight. So,
yeah, I'm gonna go Pajeda too. you get good odds here. You know me. If you've been listening to this podcast for a while, you know I'm a Jamal Hill naysayer. I never really trust.
Yeah,
I you know put it this way, he's winning all the time, and I just never think he looks all that good.
No.
And I can't imagine.
Aesthetically or performance-wise, yes.
His tattoo is one of the worst I've ever seen. Those Mickey Mouse hands giving thumbs up. You know, like those.
Yeah, you're lucky you're not related to him, Gambi. You'd be
able to punch me by now.
Spitting some chiclets at this point.
Yeah, but, you know, it's interesting to see Khalil Roundtree's name up there.
Yeah,
I will say if Johnny Walker comes out on top, in this Magomed Ankalaev fight to kick off the year.
Who's to say?
You would feel really good about his plus 1,400 odds if you got on those, if he wins that fight. Because the UFC inexplicably seems to love that dude. For every ounce of weirdness he brings and, you know, the...
Now that he's not fun, they love him.
I mean, they loved him when he was fun. They loved him when he was not fun. I mean, he's a bizarre.
No, he's kind of, I guess he's kind of in between the two now. Leaning more towards the not fun.
Yeah, he's a 3 on a 10 scale, with 10 being the most fun.
It's true.
He was one for a couple of fights, but
yeah. Oh yeah, definitely. Yeah, quite a division. So you said Pereira too, right?
Yeah, let's both take Pereira here.
So what do you think is going to happen? You think he's fighting? It will make sense for Hill next, I guess, assuming Hill's healthy enough to get going.
Yeah, I would say, I mean, like, he's probably also a name we're going to expect to see at UFC 300. You know, I'll also just throw this out here. Like, if UFC 300, you know, coming up in April, probably where we're going to see the first Alex Pereira title defense on. If that's coming up and they can't get Conor McGregor, who's now announced that he's fighting Michael Chandler sometime in 2026.
Technically, he said what in the summer and middleweight, but his pupils look very large when you're saying that. He never looks
right.
I'm not saying he does drugs or anything, but he never looks right when he's
talking. Can I tell you the time he looks the worst? He looks the worst right after he shaves. For some reason, it makes him look 30 times crazier than when he has a beard.
He never looks right. But anyhow, he claims he's going to fight at middleweight and in the summer, right?
So if they can't get him, right, they can't use that as the main event for UFC 300. Who's the big star they're wheeling out? Because Sean O'Malley.
Brock Lesnar.
Sean O'Malley.
Brock Lesnar, Mark Hunt, part two. Sorry to interrupt. Lesnar Hunt, too.
How
great would that be?
I do talk Brock Lesnar with Jim Miller on my most recent
interview. Oh, nice.
Because he's the only other one at 100 and 200 that could spoil him being the 300 one. But yeah, like if you don't have Sean O'Malley, because he's probably fighting in March or whatever, and now.
Yeah, well, he's pretty much it's set. UFC 299 is going to be him. Yeah.
Right. So with all that being said, who do you have left who is like the big ticket item? For UFC 300, is it really out of the question to do Izzy Adesanya versus Pereira 3 at light heavyweight?
No.
And so, I know Izzy odds aren't listed here, and nobody's really putting that as, like, a forefront idea, but, like, I kind of think that might be next.
Yep, that makes sense to me. That makes sense to me. And then you think Pereira wins, and then what? He fights Hill and beats him?
Hill if he's healthy, but, I mean, like, again, you got this... Jiří Procházka versus Alexander Rejčík fight. Like, what if Rejčík just comes in and beats the hell out of Jiří? Like, you'd have to put him in there next. Again, if Johnny Walker hits Magomed Ankalaev with a spinning heel kick to the dome, like, put that on 17 highlight reels and sign him up for the next title fight. So, I think there are lots of variables here. Jamal Hill's health and legal status seem to be the one of the big ones.
UFC doesn't care about legal status, so that won't be an issue. Not only is it a crappy division, but guys get hurt all the time and disappear to caves for long periods of time. So, yeah, it's hard to predict it. So, speaking of crap, Dan, heavyweights. I had Nagano. He didn't lose. You had Blades, which was worse than mine. But, of course, it's John Jones.
I mean, he just didn't fight.
Yeah, exactly. John Jones, of course, is the champ. Hooray. Pray for us, and he's going to sit on his belt until he can fight Stipe Miocic, because he knows he can beat him. He's been even more inactive, and he's even older and has more mileage on him than Jones. So the real champ, of course, is Tom Aspinall. He should just be made the real champ, and like the UFC should just do super fights. You don't need to have your BMF nonsense. Just do a super fight. Jones Miocic. It doesn't have to be for your belt.
Yeah, I kind of agree with you on that one.
You can have real fighters fight for your belt. Fighters are actually active and not old men. So anyhow, Jones, how he's going to be out like forever too, right?
No idea. Like he
tore his pec, right?
Sounds bad. I don't wish that on me.
Yeah. Yeah. I don't wish it on myself either. Maybe he can get some of the magic stuff that Conor McGregor was taking to help himself heal and get.
I think he's got plenty of that. Before. I think he's got plenty of that.
So how do we predict? How do we even predict this?
I'll tell you how this is going down. All right. I'll give you the play-by-play of how this is going down.
John Jones is
main eventing International Fight Week against Stipe Miocic late summer. He's going to
That's where Conor's doing that at middleweight. But anyhow, go ahead.
Sure.
That's what he said.
John Jones is going to absolutely destroy Stipe and leave his gloves in the cage and walk away. They will promote Tom Aspinall to being the lone champion. He will defend the title one time in October and walk out of here champion.
Yeah. Will he sit around for that, hoping that that'll happen?
Does he have a choice? Are they going to let him defend the interim title? Does he want to sit there and say, and here's the thing. Does he want to defend the interim title, or is he still holding out hope that John Jones will fight him?
Yeah. Does he have a say in this matter? It's the thing.
And I don't know.
They need fights at UFC 300. He should be healthy and ready to go at UFC 300, right?
Does he want to defend?
Does it matter if he wants to? Does it matter if he wants to?
I mean, I think it the does. Boss to says some
you
extent.
Do it, you do. Yeah, I guess maybe a bit, but yeah.
And also, like, who's there for him to fight though? Is the other thing.
Yeah.
Who
would you put him up against?
So what I think is going to happen is he's gonna sit and hope that John Jones doesn't retire after he beats Stipe. John Jones is going to beat the hell out of Stipe and not want any piece of Tom Aspinall. Because let's face it, after watching him fight Pavlovich, who wants a piece of Tom Aspinall? Nobody out there. So what I think is going to happen is Tom Aspinall is going to wait around and he's going to be promoted without fighting John Jones late August, right? Or in the middle of August after John Jones retires in July. Then we're going to have whoever wins this Curtis Blaydes versus Jailton Almeida fight Tom Aspinall in October. We're going to see like one legitimate heavyweight title fight in the year 2024. And for that reason, that's why I'm picking Tom Aspinall. Love Jailton Almeida. Love him dearly.
Love him dearly?
Yeah, I do. I know people didn't like him in that last fight. I thought he looked amazing.
He still won. It just wasn't fun. That's all.
Yeah, well, and how many times have we sat there and been like, oh, why is this guy boxing with
that's true.
Why are you throwing hands with Derek Lewis? What would you gain from that? And he chose not to. He took the safest route fighting Derek Lewis, which guess what? We would beg some of our other favorite fighters to do that. And so because it wasn't fun to watch and he didn't just starch Derek Lewis in 20 seconds, everybody got bent out of shape. He's a great fighter, smart game plan. I don't think he can do it to Tom Aspinall. And that's if he gets the shot. So I think Tom Aspinall, by not fighting John Jones, winds up still the champion and probably the undisputed champion at the end of 2024.
You know what? I am with you on that. I don't even think we went through the odds yet.
We didn't. It's John Jones 175, Tom Aspinall 175.
Minus or plus?
Plus. Aspinall plus 175. So the same number on both those guys. Then you got Jelton, only 260 on Jelton. So if he was 400 or 500, maybe a little bit more tempting, but not even 3-1. And then it takes a massive jump, 9-1 on Cyril Gane, 9-1 on Stipe. That's the dumbest odds I've ever
heard. Come on.
Pavlovich 18-1, Curtis Blaydes 20-1. I know I took Curtis Blaydes last year and I think he was the same number, but it seems like he's got even worse odds this year.
Yeah. Aspinall's got to be the pick here. For sure. Hopefully it gets started out sooner than later. You know how many, under 30s there are in, heavyweight? 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 under 30s. I don't think we're really excited.
Let me see how many of them I can name. Spivak.
Okay. Yes. One, two, three, four more.
Are all the other ones like noobs?
1-1, 1-1, 2-0, and 0-1. So yeah.
Is the younger of the two Tafas?
Yes. Yep. Junior Tafa. He's 1-1. He's 27.
Are we still counting Hamdi Abdelhawab?
Nope. No, he's 30 anyway, so no.
Oh, no. I would have guessed he. Oh, Michael Parkin.
Michael Parkin, yes. 2-0. He's 28. We have an American, a Brazilian.
An American?
Yep.
Oh, it's the Brazilian who Parkin just beat? Machado?
Yes, Machado. So a Canadian American.
Who the hell is the American? Brazilian.
He's got a Star Wars nickname.
Not Jamal Pogues.
Yes, Jamal Pogues. 28 years old.
Jamal Pogues is not 30.
He's 28 years old.
Huh.
MMA's rough.
MMA's rough. He seems like one of those guys who started fighting at 31. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Yep. It is true. All right. We did it. We did it, Gumby. We made it through the garbage divisions, and hopefully everyone enjoyed it, though. We made it fun still, right?
I had a good time. Anytime we get to talk about high IQ Cody Brundage, I'm in.
It's true. It's true. Soon enough, right? When's that fight happening again?
UFC 300. It's the main event, I think.
Okay. It is the main event. Yeah, the UFC is looking for a main event. So if we're not going to make Hunt Lesnar, they can do Hunt Lesnar, too, and they can do home Rousey, too, as well. Don't you think?
Every time there's a rumor that Ronda Rousey's coming back, I just win.
Yeah, exactly. Did you not watch her last couple of fights, ladies and gentlemen?
And she just... She doesn't want to fight anymore. I think that's maybe the most important part.
Exactly. Why would she want to fight? The sport cut up with her and head kicked her on her ass. So anyhow, thank you for starting off your new year with us. You can have more fun with us in the Discord, sportsgamblingpodcast.com/Discord or on Twitter. Twitter's not as fun, though. It's a Discord. SGP and MMA. It is fun to see what Gumby posts on that account, though. He likes putting up fun stuff, so make sure you check that out. Also, he's at Gumby Vreeland. I'm a Jeff Fox writer there. And on Instagram, I got a Substack, moneymma.substack.com. I'm working on a top 24 fighters under 24 for 2024 article. So hopefully that will be up soon before the UFC starts rolling out events again. Gumby has a very exciting episode of Top Turtle coming out very, very shortly with Jim Miller on it, right?
That's correct.
Mr. A-10 himself.
A-10, and you'll find the origin of that nickname on it.
Yeah, the Atlantic 10 Conference, and then some other guy too. Weston Wilson?
Yes, Weston Wilson.
Look at me paying attention.
Look at you remembering stuff.
New year, buddy, new year. That must be it. All right, so he's got that. And then, of course, sportsgamblingpodcast.com for Gumby and I. Pretty much every day, guaranteed, you will get at least one article written by either myself or Gumby on some kind of sport. And obviously, you're going to get lots of articles from everybody else, and you're going to get all our podcasts and all of our discounts and our deals and our giveaways and all that good stuff. And then our Patreon, of course, so you can help us crush corporate gambling, sportsgamblingpodcast.com/Patreon. And when are we coming back, Gumby? We're coming back in a couple of days, actually, aren't we?
Wednesday.
We are doing LFA prelims and then Thursday LFA main. Is it a good LFA card we got coming up, or is it just convenient that it's happening this week?
I'm going to be honest with you. I haven't even looked at it.
Fantastic. Well, we'll look at it together, shall we? Come Wednesday, LFA 174, and it's going down in the Prior Lake, Minnesota, the Mystic Lake Casino and Hotel. We've covered that many times before. Lightweight championship is the main event, Gumby.
Okay, that Jacoby Jones.
Yes, Jacoby Jones, Keegan Genrich.
Oh yeah, Genrich is tough. That's a fun fight.
All right, there you go. It's going to be a good event. We're going to cover almost every fight on it, right? Because we'll do the top 10 fights. How's that sound? Don't want to get too crazy here.
We'll get it on Wednesday.
Yeah, we'll get that Wednesday. We'll get that Thursday. A1 is coming out on Sunday. Uriah Faber's A1. And then United MMA a week from today on Monday. And then the UFC is finally mercifully back. Johnny Walker season begins, right?
That's right.
All right. Bring us into the 2024. Get us out of here, Gumby.
All right. I'm Data Gumby Vreeland. He's a high IQ Jeff Fox. And we will see you on Wednesday.